This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz. Hi there. Thanks for tuning in. This is, of course, the Saturday Quiz. I'm your host, John Leary, and it's my job on this podcast to ask the questions and supply the clues to get my guests to come up with the correct answers. This week, my guests are again from the world of the theatre. We've all got our fingers crossed that sometime in the near future, the restrictions, here in Melbourne at least, will be lifted and we can get back to seeing some live shows. And these two people are working right now to make sure that we've got something to see when we do. My first guest has not only adapted the play they're rehearsing, she's also playing the titular role of Cyrano de Bergerac. And my second guest is, I suppose, getting used to playing number two, as that is how he's credited in the cast list for the production. Welcome to the show, Virginia Gay and Robin Goldsworthy.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you, Jonathan Leary. How lovely.
How are you both?
Just great.
Just living in a liminal space.
Yeah.
Just living.
Thank God it's Friday. I mean, we are recording this.
I mean, is it Friday? Who knows?
It is Friday for us. It'll be Saturday or whenever the listeners are listening.
Unwinding on a Saturday after just such a busy week. What a joy.
Bobby was telling us when we did our line runs on Zoom, Bobby said, like, he saw something as he was going upstairs. And he was like, oh, no, better not take that upstairs now. Better have something to do later. Like just
you know,
splitting
just
up.
Just for fun. I was already carrying something. I was like, no, don't come back for it later on. Just what a joy. Have another little trip up the stairs.
A little trip upstairs. Yeah. So glorious.
You got to make your fun.
You really do. Also, can I just say, titular.
This is the level of writing that we are. No, beautiful. Oh,
good.
Yeah, you're welcome, wonderful. MTC
poetry
audience.
Poetry and
boob gags.
Yeah. It's kind of correct.
Do you make some boob jokes?
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
Listen, the entire show is about wordplay, as you know. Like Cyrano loves words. Cyrano is all about like how you can use words, how words, you know, evoke feelings in people, how poetry is important in the world, how art is important. But also because it's about words and because it's got a variety of characters in it, everybody's doing their version of wordplay. And so, like, every time I say, you know, I wish we could have a happy ending, somebody goes, happy ending. So it's a good mix of high and low, which I think is a great night at the theatre myself.
Yeah, good. And, you know, I can't wait to see it myself.
Well, hopefully you won't have to.
Hopefully for all of us.
You know.
I think it's we do actually continue to think that it's really beautiful and really, like, important for right now. Like, it's just so much about coming out of isolation and the courage that it takes to come out of isolation and the sort of collective act of hope and community it requires to do such a thing.
Yeah.
And how much effort it takes to actually try and shift a narrative into a happy ending. And I'm like, that's this. That's now. That's what we've all been going through.
We all deserve a happy ending after this.
We do.
Don't we?
Don't we?
Happy ending.
Virginia, you've been on this podcast before, so you have experienced the quiz.
It's my third time, I think.
Third time? I
think third time.
Couldn't be more honoured. Yeah.
Did you get better every time that you were on?
Oh, well, that's a good question.
Oh, God.
Have you got worse?
It's just general knowledge, so it's like different every time.
So you didn't start studying or anything.
That's my question. What have we discovered? What your expert category is?
No, I just enthusiastically take clues and run with them. Is that my expert category? I really am like
sure,
that thing. Oh, red hat. Yes,
Zizou.
Yes. Yeah, great.
What about you, Bobby? Do you reckon you might have an expert category?
No, I don't. There's like six things that I know. I know like six things.
Okay, what are those six
And if
things?
They come up, well, I don't want to give it away now. If they come up, I'll answer. But I don't want to jinx myself. No, but I love a quiz, but I'm always the quiz master asking the questions because you can contribute so much without having to know a goddamn thing. So this is actually quite terrifying for me because I try to keep up the pretense that I'm a thinking individual.
A smart boy.
Yeah. But I'm a real dum-dum. And so I will be really found out.
It is quite easy when you have the answers in front of you, let me tell you.
Yes.
But let's find out how much of a dum-dum you really are after this. We'll be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. My guests are Virginia Gay and Robin Goldsworthy. Here we go with question number one.
Okay.
Triskaidekaphobia.
No. Mm.
Yep.
Is the fear of what?
Long words.
Is it the fear of long words? Is that your suggestion?
No, I have no.
Is it
zero?
The fear of tiny holes.
No.
Tiny holes.
I don't really know how to take that, but where are you getting that?
The fear of tiny holes.
Okay. No, I'm so sorry. There is a fear. There's a fear of, like, if you show somebody a close-up of a plant with that has, like, tiny holes in it. Or
like porous anything.
Yes.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, really? You have it?
No, I mean, I don't. I'm trying to empathize.
Oh, I see. He was acting.
That's a real fear. Is that
a
real
thing?
Fear?
People really respond to it very badly on the internet.
You're going to get some very angry emails.
Exactly. With pictures. So many pictures. Triskaidekaphobia.
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 So something deca, is it like 10?
This way. Let me tell you how it's spelled.
Okay, please do.
T-R-I.
Yes.
S-K-A-I. D-E-K-A. Phobia. P-H-O-B-I-A.
Oh, so there's lots of K's and things in there. Where does that?
Yeah, because it's
Greek.
From the Greek.
It's very Greek. Okay, so Triskaideka. Is it something to do with 10? Is it something to do with...
Well, it sort of is. That's the deca, for sure.
Yeah, that's the deca. So we're scared of...
But what's? How does it start? What does
Triska.
It start
with? Triska. Try. Three-headed.
Fear of 10.
It's the fear of the number 30.
The number what?
30. 13.
13!
It's fear of 13! Baby!
Yes, it's fear of the number 13.
3 and 10 together.
3 and 10.
Terrifying. Yeah.
It's the, you know, the notion of number 13 being unlucky or scary in some way.
Do you know how long that word has been around for? Like in terms of like, how long have people been scared of 13?
That's a really good question.
You've got good questions too, buddy.
Yeah, thanks. The origins of the number 13 being a scary or unlucky number, it either comes from the kind of Nordic god, you know, Norse mythology.
Yeah.
Where there were 12 primary gods and then Loki turned up.
Totally.
And threw everything into kind of chaos.
And then got his own television series.
And that's what you've got to do. You've got to play that game.
That's how you do it.
That's what Virginia only got this show that she's doing at the moment because she chugged a massive fit.
Yeah, huge. In the sky.
In the sky.
Yeah.
That is how I got it. MTC is curious.
Or the alternate theory is that it's from the Christian tradition.
Jesus, yes.
And that there were 13 people at the Last Supper.
And there should only have been 12 because old mate Judas shouldn't have been.
Judas.
And that Judas was apparently the last one to show up.
But he did bring a packet of favourites, actually, so he's all right. He's okay.
That's not actually it's nowhere is it mentioned in the Bible who turned up first and who turned up last.
You imagine old mate Luke, who's writing the Bible, going, but does anybody has no, but when did they arrive? That's what I want to know.
When did
because
Steve
that signifies respect.
Yeah. Mm.
And what are we into here, friends? Respect. Okay, great.
But also, okay, cool. 13 is actually a lucky number, and it used to be a lucky number in some cultures. For example, up until, I think, maybe the First World War, 13 was considered a lucky number in France and Spain and some other European countries. But, yeah.
Name them all, Johnny.
Yeah, name each one.
No. there are other ones. Trust me. Okay. I just can't remember them right now. All right, well done. Question number two. Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, Peter Criss, and Ace Frehley launched which rock band in 1973?
Kiss.
Buzz, Kiss, Big Kiss.
Kiss is the right answer.
Correct.
We're two from two. I say we stop
Boom.
Now.
You know that one.
Kiss obviously famously had
the makeup.
Crazy makeup,
yeah,
and costumes and whatnot. Mm. Do you know who was which character?
No idea.
The dog face is with the sad eyes and the big nose.
There is
Snoopy.
There was no actual.
Oh,
dog
that's a different.
Face.
It's a different thing. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, he played a guitar sometimes on top of a.
That's right. Sorry. Yeah. So the full clown face with the Piero tears. No, that's somebody else.
No,
am I not helping? Am I not helping,
confusing,
Johnny?
Confusing.
So sorry.
Confusing me.
So there was.
It was like a pussycat.
So Gene Simmons.
Did he have whiskers though? Did one of them have whiskers?
No.
Yes.
Really?
There was the cat.
Yes, the cat.
There was the cat man.
Oh, I thought I was making this up.
No. The drummer was
Catman.
Peter Chris.
Yes.
And he was the Catman
Chris. Star Eyes.
Yes.
There one was of them one Star Eyes.
Called
Star Child. Mm.
And that was Paul Stanley, who was the lead singer.
Gene Simmons isn't the lead singer?
No, Gene Simmons was the guitarist. I think he's the bassist, isn't he?
Really?
Sexy bass.
When?
Sexy,
I mean, I always find a bassist the most sexy. But when is the bass player ever the most famous person in a band? Said
yeah.
Sting.
He
Sting?
Was the demon, was his character.
Right.
Oh.
And the last one was the spaceman or space ace, which was Ace Frehley. All right. Question number three. It was Kiss. Very well done.
Thank
Question
you.
Number three. Happy Valley Racecourse is in which city?
You love horse racing. Virginia Gay. Not a lot of people know this. Famously. Yeah, yeah. You own a horse, racehorse, don't you?
Several. Yeah. Happy Valley. Okay. Here are some options. Brisbane.
Okay. Give us some options.
Brisbane?
Is incorrect. Well, I thought you were going to give me some options.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just checking whether the first option was right before
the first option is incorrect.
Is it Australian?
Is it in Australia?
It is not an Australian city.
Okay. Yes.
Happy Valley.
Because valleys.
Happy Valley.
Happy Valley.
Let's try it in a series of accents, see if that helps. Oh, Happy Valley.
Don't. We'll get pretty racist pretty
quickly. Nothing problematic about that.
So there's a British television show called Happy Valley, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So that might be that.
Is it set at a race course?
As far as I know, it is not related.
Okay. Happy Valley, the only other valley that I ever think of is Silicon Valley. So America? Valley, Silicon Valley.
Happy Valley right next to Death Valley.
Yeah. Well, they often go hand in hand.
So go back to Britain. Is it somewhere in the British
Isles?
Sort of isle? Somewhere there around the UK?
No, but it is in a former British colony.
Okay.
So many of them.
Yeah, so many of them.
Heaps.
The Falklands.
India.
Yeah.
It's not in India, but you're getting
warmer,
geographically closer.
Okay.
Happy Valley Racecourse.
It's in Asia.
Yeah, okay. Happy Valley. It doesn't.
It's look, I think you're getting stuck on the valley thing. It's
yeah,
not
don't.
Really.
No.
This place is not known for either its hills or its valleys.
But they're very happy. So.
Hong
City
Kong.
In Asia.
Hong Kong
is the right answer.
Is it?
Very well done.
Jesus Christ. What are the odds?
Happy Valley Racecourse.
Happy Valley Racecourse is in Hong Kong. And that was the answer. That was the whole thing.
Yeah,
that was the whole thing.
I don't ever want to know anything more about racecourses. Isn't that terrible? I'm like, I had a feeling you were going to tell me things. I'm like, I don't want to know.
Don't want to know.
Awful. Well, I mean, sure, I could, I mean, but let's not.
No. Now there are people listening at home.
No. They don't want to know either.
Maybe they do. Tell us something very...
I don't think anyone knows.
Johnny, tell us something about Happy Valley Racecourse.
Happy Valley Racecourse. Please. All right, let me tell you something about Happy Valley Racecourse.
When was it first made, Jonathan Leary?
Oh, that is a good question. It was first built in 1845.
Ooh, there'd be some lovely stands.
And it had its
there?
First race in 1846.
Mm.
How about that?
All right. So
very well done. Mm. You got there in the end. Number four. A bully named Flashman debuted in which 1857 novel? And there's a bonus point for naming the school he attends.
A bully named Flashman.
Mm.
I reckon, is it Oliver? Oliver Twist?
No, it's not Oliver Twist.
That's all I had. Is it Dickensian? Is it in that kind of...
Is it Dickens?
It's not Dickens.
Yeah, good.
1856, did you say?
1857.
That makes all the difference.
What are your favourite novels from 1857, Virginia? Go. Just
thanks,
name your
Bobby.
Top six.
Yeah.
Go.
Look, honestly, this novel, which I've not read myself, it's semi-autobiographical.
Mm-hmm.
It's by an author named Thomas Hughes.
Right.
Okay. Tommy Hughes.
Hughes. And this novel is kind of started the, or kind of popularized the school.
Got it. Tom Brown's School Days.
Very well done.
Yes.
It is Tom Brown's School Days.
Virginia Gay.
I also have never
Flashman
read it. Never read
is
it.
The Bully. Yeah, I've never read it. But interestingly, the character of Flashman, who is only known as Flashman by his surname in Tom Brown's School Days, was later developed by George MacDonald Fraser into a series of his own books and given the name Harry Paget Flashman.
Sure.
And he appears in a series of 12 books, collectively known as the Flashman Papers.
Oh. Does it explore the cycle of abuse that leads to bullying? That's what I want to know.
It actually picks up his story after after being expelled from the school.
Wow.
Oh, and that's the bonus point. Do you know the school?
Oh,
it's
what
a
was
real
the school,
school
called
Eton?
Eton. That's the
not Eton.
It's a real school.
It is a real school, and
it's a real school in England town. So, like
in England town,
yes. Yeah. There you go.
It's Christ Church Pip School. It's little
Cambridge.
Johnny Popster's school.
It's a school best known for its sporting heritage.
Oh yes, let's go and play rugger down at Johnny
down
Hopkins
at
Lord's
University.
What it does look like? What's
no? What, you've got the right sport.
Rugger.
What's that sport?
What do they, where do they play cricket?
Famous
called. Sport. No, no, you've
or
got
was it cricket or was it rugger? Rugger.
Oh, rugby.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, let's go and play rugger down at the Oval Four.
What might the school be called where they invented that sport?
The Union. The
no,
rugby.
The Ruggleton.
It's called rugby.
Oh, it's just called rugby.
Oh, Jesus
it's called rugby.
Christ.
Now, you led us there. You led us there so wonderfully and so beautifully, and we just shat on the floor.
The right, whole
look,
time.
We looked you in the eyes and really let you down.
Down trousers.
You did a little bit let me down.
Yeah, we did.
Sorry.
It's called the rugby school.
The rugby school.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where rugby was invented.
The rugby school.
The rugby school. Very well done.
Well
All
done.
Right. Question number five. What same animal name is given to three Northern Territory rivers whose separate names begin with east, south, and west?
Okay. That can you give us that question again? And I'm just going to
yes,
try and be less dumb as you say it. I'm going to work really hard.
Try and be less dumb.
Yes, I'll try and be less dumb and go.
What same animal name is given to three Northern Territory rivers whose separate names begin with east, south, and west? So there's east something,
this thing,
south
something,
west something.
Yes, and that's all the same thing, and it's an animal.
It's an animal.
It is.
I'm going to say.
Yes, Virginia Gay.
Please.
I'm going to offer cockatoo.
Cockatoo. So east cockatoo, south cockatoo, west cockatoo.
That's not.
That is incorrect.
But it was a lovely offer, and I appreciate that.
It's a good guess. Yeah, nice.
And we're saying this is up in Queensland, yes? You're saying
it is up in the Northern Territory.
It's in the Northern Territory.
It's different to Queensland.
It is different. So it's the Northern Territory. Super.
I think I was doing cockatoo because of kakadu. I think my brain went.
Well, yeah. It is that part of this territory is inside,
kakadu.
Or part of the region is in kakadu. So you're in the right
okay.
area.
Would you, if you saw this animal in the sky, would you be like, that makes sense? Or would you go,
no, I'd be very
what
surprised.
Is going on?
I'd be very surprised if this animal was in the sky. That's a good question.
If you were alone with this animal, like in an elevator, would you freak out?
I'd also
out?
Be quite surprised.
would you
and
be
yes,
terrified?
I might freak out.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it what we're all like? You're leaning towards this, Bobby.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sure.
Is it the Crocodile River?
Oh,
is
crocodile? You're so close.
Alligator.
It is.
Alligator.
What? Alligator?
I didn't think we had alligators. I thought.
Exactly.
What?
Why is it alligator? Well, let me tell you.
Oh, please do.
Oh, please do.
Because these rivers were explored by Lieutenant Philip Parker King in 1820, and he named the rivers in the mistaken belief that the crocodiles in the estuaries
were
alligators. And the name stuck.
He would be absolutely kicking himself, wouldn't he? Yeah. He'd be so embarrassed.
Yeah, he would. I'd say he would be.
I'm still imagining being in a lift with a furious crocodile who's been called an alligator. Don't you fucking call me an alligator again.
Maybe he's
sweetheart.
In the elevator because he's going up to the naming department, the river naming department, demanding a change. Yeah.
The nomenclature estuary department.
Yeah. That sounds like the one. We're going to leave you with that image and we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks for coming back. I'm joined by Virginia Gay and Robin Goldsworthy. They're up to question number 6. Here we go. Question number 6.
Yes.
What is the atomic number of oxygen?
Atomic number?
So that's where it comes in the periodic table.
That is exactly it? Right, where it comes on the periodic
table. So,
see, Bobby, that was
like helium,
impressive.
Beryllium.
Do you know what it refers to, Bobby?
Yep.
Is it the number of atoms in it?
Yep, I do.
Oh, not the number of atoms.
The number of electrons?
It's
running around or like
yes, the number of... no, you're all around it.
Is it weight, is it mass or something?
No, the atomic number refers to the number of protons found in the nucleus of every atom. That's of that element.
Right.
That's right.
And so they're all different then. So they're all, you don't have two different things and go, the same number of protons in both.
No, that's right.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
That's right.
So the number of protons.
That's why we can have the periodic table numbered in this like way. That. Yeah.
So the number of protons in
the
nucleus.
I don't know if that's going to get you there.
I don't. I know, I'm pretty sure it's not in the top five because I know that there is a song and it's like.
Oh, yeah.
It's like helium, beryllium, blah, 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 blah.
To the tubes, modern major general.
Yes.
More or less, yes.
Yeah, and I think all of the ones at the beginning are like, end in like IUM. Though I think they're, but I don't think it's super far down.
Okay, so we know it's got two hydrogen components to it, but that's outside the scent, no?
Yeah, no, you're thinking of...
water.
You're thinking of water.
Oh, fuck me, I am too.
Which is great. Water.
No.
Wonderful.
It's
yeah. It's.
Guys, I'm so sorry. Fuck.
That's okay.
I can't even think of what the oxygen breakdown looks down.
No, but you wouldn't. You're not, it's not something that you would know. That's
inside
right.
its nucleus.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I doubt whether you've had a look in there. Because I certainly haven't. It's very hard to see.
Is it in the top 10?
Yes, it is in the top 10.
Because eight for some reason.
Yes.
It feels right, but it's not.
Feels right because it is right.
It is right. There you go. I didn't think it was top five, but I was pretty sure it was in the top 10.
I'm very impressed by that.
Do you know what the top five are?
Is helium? Is helium?
Helium's two.
Two.
What's going to be what's number one?
Hydrogen.
Hydrogen is correct. Hydrogen. Helium
is two.
Beryllium?
Oh, that's four. You've skipped over.
Skipped over three. Lithium. No.
Lithium, yes.
It is.
Shut up. Really?
And
hydrogen
then,
and helium and lithium beryllium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. Five
is tricky one. It's boron.
Boron.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, more like boring. No one remembers you, boron. Move on.
Yeah, what's boron useful for?
Poor old boron. Poor I don't know. No one knows what boron's useful for. But very well done. The atomic number of oxygen is 8.
Which means there are 8 protons within the nucleus of an oxygen atom.
Correct.
Great.
Don't you just love learning. Look at us go.
I do.
Question number 7.
Yes.
What French term describes a white work needlework method incorporating embroidery, cut work, and needle lace that became associated with England?
Yes, I've got it.
You've got it?
Petite anglaise.
Something oh, like you're that? Close. It's something anglaise.
Pointe anglaise.
Yeah.
Brocade anglaise?
Ooh, no.
Brocade.
kind of like the surname of the star of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Bueller? Brock. What am I talking about?
The star is Broderick.
Get away from the
Brick
final
anglaise.
The final K syllable.
Broderie anglaise.
Broderie anglaise is the right answer. Very well done.
Fuck.
Just.
God, that, it's really good that you give all these clues, isn't it, Johnny?
I know, but you jumped in straight, I have to say, straight off the bat there with information that.
Yeah.
I would never have guessed
somewhere that it sounded something like that. Not unsimilar to you reaching for eight. You were like, I feel like.
Yeah, maize. I feel like that. Somewhere, at some point, someone said that in my vicinity. Mm. My brain's decided to pick that up.
And it's picked it up somewhere.
Broderie anglaise.
What does it directly translate to? Is there a, like, idea.
I don't know. Something English.
Something English. It means Broderick English.
It's Matthew Broderick English.
Yeah.
Surely it comes from embroidery, broderie anglaise.
Yeah.
Anglaise. You know, like
that makes sense.
Broderie anglaise.
Oh, stop it.
We're doing a French play. I do this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't speak French.
Do you have some French in the show?
Définissez, si vous voulez, les principes centraux de l'expression romantique française.
Oh, brilliant. I have no idea what you said, but that was great.
Yeah, that's part of the key.
Actually didn't say anything. Complete gibberish, but she did it so well.
Can you chuck some broderie anglaise in there?
Yeah, on the night that you come to see it, I will get broderie anglaise into
good.
The show.
Do you have fancy pants costumes?
Again, we threw it to Bubby Goldsworthy's character.
Very, my character's very crossed. Disappointed with the lack of frills, ruffs, and...
Well, frills and ruffs would be done in broderie.
I just want to... You want to be fancy. Yes, but no.
But not in
it's
this one.
Just...
But not in this one. Here we go. Question number eight. Wow. The 2020 Summer Olympics are the games of the which number Olympiad? So the Olympics that are happening right now, they're the 2020 Summer Olympics happening in 2021, obviously.
Yes.
Tokyo.
Mm. What number?
What number?
I mean, we must have had a big one, like at some point.
Surely within our lifetime.
When was the,
when was one where you went, it's one of these ones. Can't remember.
Because it have to be somewhere. When was the first one? Is it like we got like early 1900s?
1908?
Something like that.
No,
so
before.
Oh, 1800s.
1896, I think.
1896, okay. Well, I mean, we can just work it out then.
You got to skip one from Berlin because they didn't have one in the middle of the Second World War, right?
Yeah. So it'd be 50, what do you got there?
No. I've given up.
51.
I'm sacrificing this point.
Not 50. What is it? So if it's every, so it's like 120. So like 20. So 21 or 22.
It's it's a bit more than that.
It's more okay. So
spoken like a true dad.
Yeah, but
it's a bit more than that.
Yeah.
Okay. So just have a look at the numbers again.
7, 20, no, we don't.
Look, it's a bit more.
Keep going.
It's more, 29. Really Are we over 30?
We are over 30.
Mate, are we over 40?
Okay. We're just over 30.
So the 31st.
A little bit more than that.
Dad, why don't you just tell me?
I want you to work it out for yourself.
No, but you just know. Just tell me the
person. Just tell us, Dad. Oh.
So 32, I think.
It is the 32nd Olympiad.
Great.
Very well
done.
Can
we cut out all of that middle stuff there?
No, we can't.
Can you edit it and just go straight in?
All right, here we go. See if you can win this point back.
Okay.
Because I did have to tell you, really.
You really did.
Can you tell me how that would look in Roman numerals?
Yes, XXXII.
Very well done. That's correct. All right, question number 9. Mm-hmm. In which church did Prince Charles and Lady Diana Spencer marry on July 29th, 1981?
The big one.
The Westminster? Was that the Westminster Abbey?
It's not Westminster Abbey.
Canterbury Cathedral.
And they, not Canterbury Cathedral. And they chose this one because it's bigger than Westminster Abbey.
Oh.
And it could seat more people.
And hold that dress, because that dress was a long dress.
Yeah.
Wembley Stadium.
It was. Yeah. They did it at Glastonbury, actually. They just
they did. It wasn't a stadium wedding. It should have been. It could have been.
Great. Okay.
Name your top five other favourite churches.
Yeah. Name your top five. What about this? It's named after a saint. Okay. Just to narrow it down a little bit.
Augustine.
I was going to say St. Augustine. Yeah.
Chapel.
It's not St. Augustine.
No. Okay. St.
Paul's Cathedral.
St. Paul's.
It is St. Paul's. Yes. It is St. Paul's Cathedral.
How that is indeed very excellent. Look
yes. at that. And yeah, that they chose it because
bigger.
Although Wembley wasn't available. You're right, is the traditional site of royal weddings. They chose St. Paul's because it offered more seating and it permitted a longer procession through London. And guess how many spectators they assume?
More than 12.
Is it more than 32?
We keep going up like that.
We'll be here for a long time because they
100,000.
2 million spectators lined the route of Diana's procession from Clarence House.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. And she was so unhappy.
So unhappy.
The whole time. Poor love.
All right, we're up to the final question.
That's so exciting. I feel like we've done okay so far.
You've done very well.
I feel like it hasn't been. So there's one more chance at really embarrassing ourselves.
There is. And it is this. Question number 10. How old is Wimbledon champion Ash Barty?
Robin?
She is around the 21. Around that sort of 20 to 22 sort of thing. So she's super little. She's super little.
She's not quite that young.
Is she 25?
She is 25.
I remember reading that as soon as you said it. That's wild.
Maybe she was that age when she became number one or something. I just had in my head that she was a tiny, tiny person.
So young.
So young. Yes. 25, so young.
How old was Goolagong when she won?
Oh, that's a good question to which I don't know the answer.
No. Oh, my God. How about when Barty said, I hope it made everyone proud. Everybody cried.
Everyone cried.
Amazing.
God,
yeah.
That was so beautiful.
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular.
What an incredible creature.
It's nice when people who are just good at the thing that they're good at also are wonderful ambassadors for being a human being, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Agreed.
Which it doesn't happen all the time, especially because sport, one of the reasons you're good at sport is because you are aggressive and single-minded and selfish and all those sorts of things, combative. And then we ask them to also be incredibly deep, generous human beings.
Humble. Yes.
And also chuck being 20 onto it as well.
And being very well paid and occasionally paid but not actually, for example, paid at the same rate as men, which would also infuriate me personally.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley was 19 when she won the French Open singles.
Mm. Okay.
And then she won the ladies single tournament at Wimbledon in 1971 and she was born in July of 1951. So she was either 19 or 20.
20.
She was 20.
That's less than 32. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
That is less than
32. Also, XX in Roman numerals.
And less than 25, which is what Ash Barty was.
Amazing.
Incredible. Amazing.
It is incredible. We're going to take another break. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
My guests today have been Virginia Gay and Robin Goldsworthy. And Virginia, what was it that you were going to tell us about your own sporting history?
But what I will tell you is that my sporting house in primary school was Goolagong.
Ah, brilliant.
And we were the Green and Golds. And I remember swimming for Goolagong. And I have powerful shoulders, so I swam well for Goolagong.
What about tennis? Were you any good at tennis?
I was never any good at tennis. My school
sport.
You've
got some height.
I do have some height, but really, honestly, focus on the shoulders, because my school sport when I got into high school was shot put. Yeah. So along with playing the trombone, having glasses and braces and giving myself a crew cut, I was the hottest thing around.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Built like a shot put player, trombonist. Oh my God. Oh, it was a good time for me, my teens. I really learnt a lot about pain.
And I guess you might have built that a little bit into your portrayal of Cyrano.
Do you reckon?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I reckon.
Which now makes all of those shot put lessons tax deductible. So, cha-ching.
It also makes all of those shot put jokes that I've put into the show much funnier. If you know
now
them,
I know why we do that whole, like, that 15-minute shot put bit. It's like...
That's the choreography that we're going to learn.
What a joy. That's great.
Well done. Yeah, thank you both so much for joining me.
Pleasure.
And cutting into your very busy rehearsal schedule.
Thanks for keeping us entertained while we wait for the news.
And your show... Provided everything goes well, your show will be when?
August the 5th, and we play until the first week of September at the MTC Southbank Theatre.
Fantastic. I really hope that that you get to do it on those dates.
Thank you.
Because it's a genuinely beautiful and joyous show. Virginia Gay is very good. Lots of things, and then suddenly she's like, "I'm also an amazing playwright." So,
thanks, Bobby. He hasn't even seen me throw a shot put. I'm just saying, I'm holding that off.
True enough. Oh. That's the quiz for another week. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening wherever you are, but especially thanks to my listeners in Sydney who are in lockdown with not a lot of joy lately. I hope things start rapidly improving for you there. Thank you to Cindy McDonald for always writing such great questions. And thanks to my guests this week, Virginia Gay and Robin Goldsworthy. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.